So when I was on sabbatical, as I've shared with you, every day I would pray for this church, and I would pray for you that the Good Shepherd would take care of this flock, and I know that God did. I never once prayed, "Dear God, I hope that you give this church lots of rules and lots of regulations and more stuff than they can bear." Of course not, nor did I pray that for myself. What I pray for you and for me is that we come to know and love God better, and that by knowing and loving God better, we will live lives of righteousness, because the more we love God, the more it will affect how we live with regards to God, how we treat one another, and how we treat the world. So that's been my prayer, which is why we're doing this sermon series on knowing God, out of the deepest desire of my heart for us all to know God better. We're doing that through looking at the names of God. And so today we're going to be looking at the name of God in Scripture that is translated as Yahweh. You'll be hearing about when this name was given to Moses. And so you'll be hearing first about the burning bush, which you've already heard about in the children's sermon. A bush was on fire, and yet it didn't turn black. It was still green, even though flames were coming off of it. That got Moses' attention, and God took advantage of that to talk to Moses. And then there is a gap, a break in what you'll be hearing from Moses getting God getting Moses' attention, to then in the intervening time, God asks Moses to do some pretty good things, and then Moses comes back and says, "Well, if you're going to want me to do this, I need you to tell me this thing." So I invite you to hear as Barbara reads for us the story of Moses and the burning bush and God's words.
Today's scripture reading is from Exodus 3, 1 through 6, 13 through 16. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. Go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have given heed to you and to what has been done to you in Egypt.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In the year 2002 in Lake City, Florida, there was a man who had been involved in the Vietnam War, and what he had experienced had damaged him emotionally so much that some 35 years later, he wanted to get to an entirely new start. His name was Charles Haffey, and part of that new start was to change his name. And I get wanting a new start. And I love the idea of wiping the slate clean. That's what we talk about with Jesus and God. And he wanted to signify it with his name. And so he went to the judge to petition to change his name so he could be a new person. But he wanted to change his name to God. Well, the judge didn't allow that. He said, go back and pick out a different name besides God to change your name to. And so he went back to the Bible. He read a little bit more, including the passage that we just read. And so he came back to the judge. And he said, okay, I've got it now. I want my first name to be I Am and my last name to be Who I Am. So I am who I am. You know, you just heard that read to you by Barbara. And the judge thought about it, and the judge said, okay, to which the former Mr. Haffey, now Mr. Who I Am, responded, well, hallelujah. So today we're going back to the original holder of the name, I Am Who I Am. And we begin with Moses. Moses was 80 years old at the time. And he was working to be shepherd for his father-in-law's sheep. Now, this probably was not the highest career goal he had ever had at 80 years old. But then when he came across that burning bush, everything changed for him pretty quickly because he paid attention and God started speaking to him. There was an intervening part between the first and the last parts of what Barbara read. And I want to share it with you because God said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cries. So I'm going to save them. And he goes on to say, so Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh so that the people can be freed. And then I love this because Moses then says to God, and this is in the middle of what we heard Barbara read, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I to do that? You know, Lord, there's someone much better to do it than me. And that's true of every human being. Every time that God gives us a task that sounds big or maybe too big, I'm really good at saying, you know, I would love to help you out, but it's much more Jan's spiritual gift to do this thing. We'll have Jan do it. Or you know, if you're on a committee and there's a big project, perhaps the big bake sale or the annual fundraiser for whatever organization you're in, and the person who's been in charge of that fundraiser forever is retiring from that position, and they're looking around, and eyes start looking at you, and you're very good at saying, you know, I would love to help out, but I don't have enough time, my house isn't big enough, I'm no good at organization, I'm no good at this. I mean, you know you've said this before, I imagine. And part of what you do is you look around and say, you know, I wouldn't be very good at it, but, you know, Judy is really good at this stuff. Let's let her do this. And we pass the buck to get out of it. And that's what Moses tries to do. Who am I that I should do this? And God gets around Moses pretty quickly because Moses is saying, who am I? And God says, well, you know what? Here's the only thing you need to know. I will be with you. All of a sudden, it's not about who Moses is. It's about the fact that God will be with him. And so Moses, just as he is, can with God go and do anything. But Moses is not done with his objections. Because Moses begins with, well, who am I that I should do this? Then he goes on to say, and who are you? I need to know your name. He says, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? He's saying, you know, I'm okay with it, God. I would do it, but all those other people are going to demand to know your name. And if I've got to go talk to all those other people and tell them they're going to pack up after living here for hundreds of years, slavery or not, they've been here, and that they've got to go through that sea and go to the promised land, then tell me their name because they're going to want to know. Now, I know that, you know, we Methodists would never do this. But I've heard tell in other churches that people will come up and say, Pastor, I'm not upset about this myself, but other people are saying, and what that always tells me is that they're upset and they want to know what's going on. And that's great. We start a conversation then about what's going on. But you know, we humans, we always kind of foist it off on other people. And in fact, Moses never once tells other people the name of God that God's about to tell him. He hears it because he needs to hear it. He hears it because he needs to know more about God for himself. And he does. What he hears is enough for him. And he packs up and he goes and does what God needs him to do. But before we get to the name of God that God gave Moses, I want to tell you again how important names are. Because we do have gods, and they do have names, but we just don't like saying them out loud as God's name, the name of our gods. Wealth, career, pride, in a couple of weeks, football. And how many of us have little gods that we hold in our hand as we walk and text and read in our little computer? I mean, you may say, well, those aren't gods, but anything that takes our energy and our time and our attention and our finances, what we're thinking about, what we're focusing on, the goals that we want to have, oh, I want nothing more than for my team to go all the way this year, or I want nothing more than the newest gadget that I can, then that may be a clue that you have gods in your life whose names sound a lot like the name of your favorite sports team or of your favorite iPhone or Android phone. And so it's important to at least name that, because there's truth in the old saying, God can take the place of anything, but nothing can take the place of God. God can take the place of anything, but nothing can take the place of God. Because I want to tell you that I am convinced that all of those things, every single one of them, even your favorite football, baseball team, even the Kansas City Royals, all of those things pale besides the wonderful love and power of the one true God, Yahweh, our God. It doesn't matter how much love you give the Chiefs, or how much you tell your smartphone you love it, or the great things you say to the money in your wallet, it will never love you back the way that you love it. But the God of the universe will, and more. God loves us so much. And that is why there is one God, and God is Yahweh. So let's look closely at what God says to Moses. He said, thus shall you say to the Israelites, God said to Moses, I am who I am. In Greek, it might sound like, Eye, Asher, Eye, I am, Eye, Asher, who, Eye, am. Some have transliterated this name as Yahweh. Some have called it Jehovah. In the Hebrew language, there are no vowels, and so there is no way to know exactly how this name is to be translated. So Yahweh and Jehovah are different ways of trying to say the same name that we can't ever know what the vowels are. It appeared 6,828 times in the Old Testament, more than three times the closest other name for God, which is Elohim, which we spoke about last week. The word, when God says to Moses, I am who I am is my name, there are those who consider that name of God so sacred that they don't want to risk saying it aloud for fear of accidentally taking the name of God in vain. And so some people will not even speak aloud what it might be. There are others that still see power in the sacred name so much they take it in a different direction. They believe that if you can just find out what those vowels, those unknowable vowels actually are, and if you say them, then that gives you power. And that you can actually do magic, or you can invoke good or evil if you just have the power of knowing what the actual name is. And there are some myths and legends around that. That's not our faith tradition, but there is power in knowing the name. I am convinced of that, not to work miracles, but to know God. You see, Yahweh is some form of the Hebrew verb to be. So that God is the power of being. Most interestingly, the tense is fluid of this verb. And what I mean is this. We don't know. There is no way to know The finest Hebrew scholar can never know the tense of this, so that one might translate it, I am who I am. You might can translate it, I will be who I will be. You might could say, I was who I was. You might could say, I am who I will be. I was who I am. I am who I was. Or any version of that, we don't know what it is. One of my favorite translations is, I will be whatever tomorrow demands me to be. We don't know exactly which one of those is exactly the name of God. What it tells me is that God is, yes, the past, present, and future. Now, Moses must have felt that power, because to have I am, I will be, I was, say that he would be with him, Moses went from there on out. And the people trusted I am, I was, I will be as they followed Moses. But what about for us? What does it mean for us if God does not speak to us out of the burning bush? Then what does this mean for us? Well, first of all, it means that God is God of the past. For all of the good things in your past that have helped make you who you are, that is God at work in who you are, making you who you are becoming. Last week I shared the story from my sabbatical when I was high up in the Sierra Nevada mountains walking alone on a path in the mountains with lots of mountain lion poop on the path. At that retreat center that morning, I'd had breakfast with some other women who were on retreat together. And they looked at me and they said, you're here on your own? And I said, yes. And one of them said, you must be very brave. And I thought at the time, well, no, not really. I'm not very brave at all. But it kind of stayed in my head. And then I did go walking by myself around all the mountain lion poop in the Sierra Nevada mountains. And that's sort of brave. And what has happened in the months since then is it's kind of been in the back of my head. And I'm beginning to think, well, maybe I am a little bit brave. And so maybe when that next scary thing happens to me, I'll remember that I'm a little bit brave, maybe. And what I want to tell you is you all have those moments in your life where something positive has happened that has helped make you who you are. And that strength from the past, whatever it is, will help be with you in the future, because God is, God was, I was who I was. God is with you in the past. If God is God of the past, there's another side to that. And that is that if there are good things in our past, we all have the opposite too. We all have things that we wish we had never done, or that we wish had never been done to us. We have things for which we've asked forgiveness, things for which we have granted forgiveness to others. But sometimes those things can tie us down. And to know that God is a God of the past means that even at our lowest, worst point in our past, God was. God, Yahweh, was there with us. And that means that we can be free from whatever is holding us down. God is also a God of the present. I am who I am. And what that means is that no matter how bad things look, God is here. No matter how great things look, God is here. No matter what today holds for you, God is here. Remember that next time you turn on the news or open the newspaper and get fearful and worried, because I am who I am is right here with us, beside us. And God is surely God of the future. I will be who I will be, Yahweh. We can live in hope with courage and confidence, because if we look ahead and start to feel overwhelmed at what seems to be ahead of us, Yahweh, I will be who I will be, is already there in our future with us, ahead of us. You see, because Yahweh, I am who I am, I was who I was, I will be who I will be, because God is God of the past, present, and future, our present can have hope for the future, because God has brought us through the past. And that is what it means for Yahweh to be our God. And so I want to invite you to pause and listen with me. What do you feel? What do you hear when you hear Yahweh? I am who I am. I was who I was. I will be who I will be. Perhaps you feel peace or comfort or freedom from fear. Perhaps there's some things in your past that you're ready to let go of one more time and trust them to Yahweh in the past. And perhaps there's something today that's heavy on your heart that you want to give to I am who I am. Perhaps there's something in the future that has got you worried and wondering. So we're just going to take a few moments in the service now in silence. And I invite you to lift up to Yahweh whatever it is that's on your heart and trust this piece of yourself to God. So let us just be in silence together. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the one who is, who was, and is to come. I love that our story begins with Moses in the burning bush and Yahweh being identified as I am who I am, God of past, present, and future. And then our story completes in Revelation with Jesus being acclaimed as the one who is and was and is to come. Do you see that our entire story from our very beginning to our very ending is held in God's hands? And so may we trust today ourselves to Yahweh, the God who is, I am who I am. Will you pray with me? Oh God, thank you so much for being God of our past, our present, and our future. Enable us to trust you with our past and our present and our future, that we may live today in hope and in courage and in confidence with you. Amen.